Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.
About 15 months ago, Republicans took back control of the House of Representatives. With so many pressing national problems, a faltering economy, an invasion across our southern border, a mass poisoning through fentanyl and opioids, finally, we could focus on something other than sending money to Ukraine. Except we didn't. Unfortunately, the House kept ignoring all the important issues and mostly just sent more money to Ukraine. So, 6 months ago, a handful of House conservatives ousted Republican Speaker Kevin McCarthy and replaced him with the ostensibly more conservative Mike Johnson. And then we got a bunch of familiar gridlock. And finally, last Friday, we got more funding for Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan. Now, Speaker Johnson's job is in jeopardy, and many conservatives are shocked and scandalized. But I am not shocked and scandalized, because as I have mentioned many times, this was always going to happen, because this is how our government works. Look at these people. Look at these Democrats on the floor of the House. They're waving Ukraine flags on the floor of the American House of Representatives. Our representatives, our statesmen, are waving the flags of another country. Why is that? Because we are not a yeoman republic. We are not even a nation state. We are a global empire. We don't pass laws for ourselves by starting with singing bills up on Capitol Hill like in Schoolhouse Rock. We have a Byzantine system of bureaucrats and administrative obligations that fund and manage a global empire. That empire benefits us in some ways. I don't want to be totally down on the empire. There are some benefits that we get. At the same time, it takes from us many of our political rights and traditions. You might not like that. I might not like that. You might even be angry with me for telling you that. But that's just the way it is. Most pundits, you're going to hear two takes on this today from pundits on both sides of the aisle. Both takes are going to involve a lot of yelling and screaming, either because one side demands that you view Ukraine as the most important battleground for freedom and democracy or whatever. And or on the other side, you're going to hear yelling and screaming because they're going to say that we need to cut all foreign aid and we only need to focus on domestic problems. We need to not give one red cent to anyone overseas, which will not happen and probably cannot happen, because that is not how empires have ever worked or will ever work. And it's certainly not how our empire works. So those guys on both sides of the issue, both sides, it's all basically the same conclusion, nothing. They're going to yell and they're going to scream impotently, and then nothing that they predict or demand will happen. We will all still think the Ukraine war is ridiculous and futile, and then we'll keep funding it. And I'll be over here, calmly describing to the best of my ability what is going on. And why am I calm? Why am I calm? Because history is the representation of lust and violence that is ultimately redeemed, despite our best efforts, by God. No one in politics has lower expectations or greater hope than Christians. Seems like a paradox. That's the way it is. We fight hard. We do our best. But we know how the principalities and powers that govern this world work. We know that the only way to accomplish anything is first to acknowledge reality. That's true at a personal level, and it's certainly true at a political level. That is not always great for garnering clicks, but it is better for your blood pressure and for your perspicacity, because it means that you won't be constantly shocked and appalled by how politics actually works. I'm Michael Knowles. This is The Michael Knowles Show. Welcome back to the show. Breaking scientific news. This is political too, I guess. Eco-anxiety apparently affects black people more than it affects white people. We will get to that major social, environmental, scientific challenge in just a moment. First, though, go to goodranchers.com/Knowles. Are you tired of your favorite cut of beef or chicken costing more but weighing less every time you buy it from the store? Well, Good Ranchers has a solution for you with their price lock guarantee. During their April Price Shield campaign, Good Ranchers is offering a long-term solution. Subscribe to one of their boxes and they will lock in your price until 2026. It's completely insane. You know me. You know I like my meat. You know what I had last night for dinner? I had a nice juicy Sunday sauce made by sweet little Elisa with sausage in it and meatballs and pork. And it was really, really nice. Well, what is the service that I trust to send me my meat? Top quality, unbelievably inexpensive from America, and you lock in your price. At a time of historic inflation, you lock in your price for 2 years. It's Good Ranchers. Simply the best. Go to goodranchers.com. Use promo code Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S. You will get their exclusive price shield and an additional 10% off your order. This offer ends at the end of the month. So if you want to secure your best price on meat until 2026, go to goodranchers.com. Use code Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S. That is goodranchers.com. Promo code Knowles today. Real quick, what's in this funding bill? It's a $95 billion bill. Now, it was broken up into different little pieces of funding because the House wasn't able to pass the whole thing at once. So it starts out $60 billion allocated for Ukraine, then $17 billion or thereabouts for Israel, then $9 billion for humanitarian aid, and then $8 billion to support Taiwan. Is any of this justifiable or defensible from a national security or even national interest perspective? The most justifiable one, obviously, is Taiwan. The reason for that is we rely on Taiwan for semiconductors and microchips. If we lose Taiwan, we're going to be up the creek without a paddle. Also, because we will lose Taiwan to arguably our biggest geopolitical adversary, China, rising China, challenging American hegemony, potentially leading into a multipolar world. So the easiest argument for this kind of funding goes to Taiwan. What is the argument for Ukraine? Ukraine is the biggest line item here, right? $60 billion. The argument for funding Ukraine right now is to kill more Russians. That's basically it. That Russia remains a geopolitical adversary of the United States, and they're getting a little high-handed in their traditional sphere of influence. And we don't like that. We don't like seeing Russia grow. We still view Russia as a threat. Russia does, in fairness, still have a lot of missiles pointed at us. And so we are not funding Ukraine because Ukraine can win the war. Ukraine cannot win the war. The number of personnel and the amount of materiel involved are insufficient to actually defeat the Russians in the war. So the only thing that the United States is aiming at by continuing this war is killing more Russians. And they'll use the euphemism, which is weaken the Russian military. But what that means is the Russians are going to keep pouring in and we're going to keep killing them. Well, we're not going to kill them. It's Ukrainians who are going to kill them. A lot more Ukrainians are going to die, but the die is cast. That is the American grand strategic vision in Ukraine. That's the whole scope of it. There's really not much more to it. And you might say, well, that's awful. That's terrible. That's cynical. I guess it is, maybe, but that's just the way it is. How about Israel? Why are we funding Israel? The reason we're funding the state of Israel goes back a long way, actually. The modern state of Israel, the roots of it, go back to the British Empire. The American Empire is kind of the continuation or even the apotheosis of the British Empire. And so we've hung on to a lot of British customs, obviously British law. The people who founded America were British, and a lot of their affinities and their obligations. It was founded famously in the Balfour Declaration. Then it's formally founded by the United Nations. The United Nations also plays a role in the American Empire. And then from the perspective of American national interest, Israel is part of America's Middle East alliance. We get, you know, a little military base there in Israel. We get some intelligence from Israel, perhaps. But it's part of a broader alliance. Israel is not our only ally in the Middle East, but Israel is a a particularly conspicuous one because it's a non-Muslim ally in the Middle East. And who are our other allies? Well, it's Saudi Arabia. It's Turkey some of the time. Turkey's a NATO ally. It's Qatar. It's Bahrain. It's Kuwait. It's the United Arab Emirates. It's Egypt, notably, is an ally of ours. Jordan is an ally of ours. But when you have allies in any region, that means that you have enemies in that region too. The clearest enemy, not even just to the United States directly, but to all those guys I just mentioned, especially Israel, but also places like also certainly Saudi Arabia and others, is Iran. So you've got Iran as an enemy. Therefore, you've got Syria, which is an ally of Iran, as kind of an enemy. Then, therefore, you've got Turkey sometimes as kind of an enemy, even though they're also a NATO ally and have been for, what, 70 years now. And Afghanistan now is, not, you know, Afghanistan's not even really a country, but in as much as it is, it's an enemy. And so that's that. That's that. And I know that's not a sexy explanation of why we're funding these things. And you might still say, well, I want to defund all of it. Yeah, maybe you do. And maybe there have been plenty of brilliant statesmen in American history who say we don't want an empire, but we have one. We have one. And so we're going to keep funding it, whether you want to, whether I want to. It's just, that's just how it's going to work. And when you have an empire, that means that you garner to yourself certain alliances. And when you garner alliances, that means that that engenders enemies as well. And that's just the way it happens. It gets back to a line that I mentioned earlier in the monologue, which is that history is the representation of lust and violence. It's the representation of desire and violence. And that's just the way it goes. It's ultimately redeemed. So I don't want to sound like I'm a total doomer here. You know, history is also the playing out of God's providence. So it's got a good beginning, it's got a good middle, you know, the incarnation and the crucifixion and the resurrection, and it's got a good end. But, you know, there's a lot of nastiness in the middle because it's a fallen world. Simple as that. And then how about then $9 billion for humanitarian aid? That's the amount of money that we pay just to make ourselves feel better for funding all of this violence, which I'm not even knocking the U.S. for funding the violence. We're an empire, and that's what empires do. And that's politics, because this world is fallen and it's run by principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's how it goes. This doesn't mean that the principle of the state or even the principle of the empire is wrong. The civil authority is there for our good, and it's there because we need peace and we need order in order to have liberty. But it gets kind of messy and nasty in the meantime. And that's why McCarthy was going to fund it and Johnson's going to fund it. And whoever the next speaker is, probably going to be Hakeem Jeffries, the Democrat. But even if we get another Republican, they're going to fund it too, because that's how the government actually works. And you might say, well, but it shouldn't. And I don't like that it does. Well, okay, man, I'm just here to tell you the truth as I see it. I'm just here. Don't shoot the messenger. Okay. If you want someone to just yell and scream and, you know, make you feel really good about your misperception of the government or your mistaken predictions or something. I'm not that guy. Can't, but I'll tell you, it's better for your blood pressure and it's better for your perspicacity if you accept the way politics actually works, because that's also the only way that we'll actually be able to accomplish anything. There's so much more to say. First, though, go to genucel.com/Knowles. Are you looking for the perfect gift this Mother's Day? Our friends at Genucel have you covered. Genucel is offering an extra 25% off in honor of their 25th anniversary. If you've not tried Genucel, it is a great place to start in their most popular package. Go check it out. This package features their Gen 90 serum, which instantly results in visibly erasing the wrinkles around your eyes, forehead, crow's feet, and laugh lines. It also includes their top-selling under-eye bags and puffiness serum, as well as their jawline treatment for a more contoured, defined jawline. Genucel is so confident in their product, they will guarantee that you will see results in less than 12 hours or you get your money back. Simple as that. I love the company. The founder is a Coptic Christian from Egypt who left for the American dream. I asked them once, I said, how is it that you charge so little for the first order? Is it just, do you mark up your product a lot or something? They said, no. We're willing to take a hit. We're willing to lose money on the first order because we know that people are going to love this product. They're going to stick with it for a long time. Go to genucel.com/Knowles for an additional 25% off. Genucel's already amazing Mother's Day sale. Genucel will give you a free spa box and 2 bonus gifts with free shipping. But do not wait. This sale will not last long. They have limited inventory. Genucel.com/Knowles. Genucel.com/Knowles. Speaking of things the House is doing that is driving people crazy, the House is going to ban TikTok. Okay, we say, hey, members of Congress, It'd be great if you could fix this economy. Hey, members of Congress, it'd be great if you could seal up that border and stop the major invasion, historic invasion of the United States. Hey, members of Congress, it'd be good if you could stop the mass poisoning of Americans that is occurring because of China and the cartels that control the border. And you know what the House of Representatives says? They say, yeah, best we can do is ban TikTok. Sorry, we can't fix any of that other stuff. We actually can't because, you know, the Democrats control the Senate and the presidency and the bureaucracy, of course. But yeah, but we can ban TikTok. So is that good? Does that work for you guys? Does not excite me. The House passed this legislation that would ban TikTok in the U.S. if the China-based owner does not sell its stake in TikTok within a year. And this passed overwhelmingly. It was a 360 to 58 vote. Not 360 to 358, it was 360 to 58. Overwhelming passage of this bill. Now it goes to the Senate and they're going to keep negotiating and trying to work this thing out. I have no problem in principle with banning a social media app. As you know, I'm not exactly the most libertarian guy in the world. I think that we have a political right to ban these kinds of things for all sorts of reasons. Not for any reason, but for all sorts of reasons. So in principle, I got no problem with it. But in practice, I do. I'm not in favor of banning TikTok. Why? Because a question you got to ask yourself when bills pass is, who stands to benefit from this? Who stands to benefit? Why are you getting such an overwhelming bipartisan majority of people who want to ban this? Why are so many Democrats on board with banning TikTok? Is it because all of a sudden they hate the Chi-Coms or something like that? All of a sudden they're concerned with obscene material being presented to our kids? Democrats are all in favor of presenting obscene material to our kids. Democrats hold parades for months at a time to present obscene material to our kids. So it's not that. They're afraid of appeals to the prurient interest that you see on TikTok. They're afraid that the Chinese communists are going to propagandize us with far left material. The libs are already trying to propagandize us with far left material. Who stands to benefit from this? Mark Zuckerberg, who's a huge lib, who may have been the reason that Democrats took the 2020 election through his $400 million of funding, specifically of organizations that would determine where to place ballot drop boxes. We're talking about real nuts and bolts, significant maneuvers in the 2020 race. Mark Zuckerberg benefits because he's the competitor to TikTok. He runs Instagram and Facebook. And Joe Biden benefits. Joe Biden is being raked across the coals on TikTok right now, in no small part because the Gaza war has generated a lot of interest, especially among young people, especially on social media platforms, especially on TikTok. And Biden is being blamed for the mishandling of that war in the youth vote popular consciousness. So it's real convenient for the Democrats right now that they're going to pass this law and the Republicans are going to be all for it because we think it's going to attack those darn Chi-Coms, you know, those reds over there in China. But really the only people who are going to benefit, the only people who are going to get hurt probably is Republicans. And the only people who are really going to benefit are Joe Biden and Joe Biden's and the Democrats' enforcement arm in the so-called private industry, which is largely Facebook. Maybe Google a little bit, but it's Facebook and Instagram. I don't really see, why are we doing that? I want there to be more competitors to Facebook and Instagram because Facebook bragged about throwing the 2020 election to the Democrats. And they censor us. And sure, I don't like the Chinese communists coming in and censoring us and I had my TikTok account banned within 3 seconds of starting it just about. And TikTok does have all sorts of disgusting material on it. But the same is true of Facebook. Facebook censors us, bans us, and has all sorts of awful material on it. So why are we going to give a huge advantage to Facebook and the Democrats and Joe Biden? Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Speaking of Biden, did you know that Joe Biden's uncle was eaten by cannibals in New Guinea? That was news to me.
We called him Uncle Bozy. He was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force. He flew single-engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals in New Guinea at the time. They never recovered his body, but the government went back when I went down there and they checked and found parts of the plane and the like.
Okay. So in case it's a little garbled, the audio is a little hard to hear there outside, but the upshot is Joe Biden's uncle supposedly shot down in New Guinea and then eaten by cannibals. And I got to tell you, of all the Joe Biden tall tales that we've ever heard, old corn pop there at the Scranton, or was it Delaware, swimming pool, old hairy legs, old Joe Biden's dad just extolling the virtues of two dudes making out back in the 50s or whatever. Remember that story from Joe Biden? Of all the stories we've ever heard, plenty of stories about his family and his uncle getting eaten by New Guinea cannibals is probably the most plausible one. Because there are, you know, we've had American excursions. We're a global empire. We've had American excursions all over the world, all over the Pacific. And there are a lot of cannibals in New Guinea today. Not even 50 years ago or 70 years ago or whenever this story supposedly occurred. Like today, people in New Guinea practice cannibalism. That's real. So I don't, the story is probably fake because Joe Biden said it. Joe Biden, who rarely says true things, said this, therefore I don't believe it. But if a person who were not an infamous liar told me this story, I'd probably believe it, man. We don't generally practice cannibalism here. We'll see how much longer. We keep the border open long enough. Who knows? But generally, that's frowned upon in America and in Europe and in the West. But they do practice it in a lot of other places. That's true. We're a little parochial. We forget that there are all sorts of crazy behaviors and all sorts of civilizations. We take our civilization for granted very, very often. And we are going to regret that when we have to witness more cannibalism. Not just of Joe Biden's uncle, but, you know, it's not. Civilization's a precious thing. We ought to hold on to it. Now, the wait is over. The uncut, extended, uncensored episodes of Yes or No are now available exclusively on Daily Wire Plus, such as my episode with Matt Fradd, which was removed entirely from a certain big tech platform, but which I actually don't even remember why it was removed, but very often, this is no joke, I hate to flatter Fradd, but when I go around, especially certain Catholic circles, they'll say, Michael, I loved such and such interview with Fradd. Oh, I loved when you went on Matt Fradd's show. Well, a lot of people don't know. I had a whole yes or no game with Matt Fradd, a great show host in his own right. And it's available now on Daily Wire Plus. Check out this teaser.
It is perfectly acceptable to abandon your wife and children on a weekend to do a four-hour podcast with a couple of dudes while enjoying cigars and whiskey.
Of course
it is, or we wouldn't have done it.
Who would suggest otherwise? Become a Daily Wire Plus member. You can watch full uncensored episodes exclusively on Daily Wire Plus. And while you're at it, go get the best-selling yes or no game that you can play up to 9 people with at. I don't know who writes this copy, but a lot of prepositions button up against each other here. Go to dailywire.com/shop. Go check it out.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Now, the White House is doubling down on Joe Biden's cannibal story.
Can we just see the cannibal tab in your book?
Cannibals? There's no cannibal tab. What are you talking about? Is that what you're asking me about?
Can you fit us in?
Yeah.
Okay. Look, I'll just, and I think we shared this with some of you, so I'm just going to kind of repeat. Look, you saw the president. He was incredibly proud of his uncle's service in uniform. You saw him at the war memorial. It was incredibly emotional and important to him. You saw him respond to all of you when asked about the moment yesterday, and his uncle who lost his life when the military aircraft he was on crashed in the Pacific after taking off near New Guinea. The president highlighted his uncle's story as he made the case for honoring our sacred commitment to equip those we send to war and to take care of them and their families when they come home.
I won't belabor the point. There's not a ton of meat on this bone of KJP's response to the cannibal question, other than to say, this lady's got a tough job. You know, I have a bit of pity. I don't like what she's doing. I don't like who she's working for, but this is a tough job. When you've got to start answering questions about your uncle, about the president's uncle being eaten by cannibals, you know your boss has strayed a little far afield. You know your boss is not in a great spot, and the Democrats' position in the 2024 election is not in a great spot. Despite all of the power that they have, they really do have operational control over most of the institutions in our country. And still, I'm not totally gloom and doom, black-pilled, it's all over. And still, there is a pretty good shot that Donald Trump gets reelected in November. They wouldn't be trying to throw him in prison if there weren't. They wouldn't be simultaneously prosecuting him on four fronts if there weren't a pretty decent chance that even with all the rigging and all the thumbs on the scales, that Trump could be elected. Especially if the president, the current president, keeps going off talking about cannibals and hairy legs. Speaking of threats to Joe Biden, Bobby Kennedy Jr. is posing a major threat because Bobby Kennedy Jr. just got ballot access in Michigan. Don't forget, it doesn't matter if RFK Jr. gets ballot access in New Jersey or New York or something that states that Joe Biden is obviously going to win. But what about Michigan? What about Pennsylvania? What about Wisconsin? What about Arizona? What about states where even in a, you know, totally normal election, it's going to be kind of tight between the Democrat and the Republican? Well, what happens if you have a Democrat who appeals to Democrats, who's going to pull some of those precious votes away from the Democrat nominee, Joe Biden? States that were decided by a relatively small number of votes going all the way back to 2016. And then maybe 2020, kind of a strange election, and then 2024. Bobby Kennedy Jr. now has ballot access in Michigan on the natural law party line. Now, this is kind of funny. I didn't know that there was such a thing as a natural law party. It is kind of funny that a guy who defends murdering babies in the womb is on the natural law party line. That seems a little strange to me. I'm going to look into this natural law party a little bit because that's a little odd. But I'm in favor of it. I think it's great. Does this mean that Kennedy will be the natural law party candidate, the nominee across the country? No. I don't even know if the natural law party has a ballot line throughout the country. States make their election laws, and there are all sorts of different parties. I remember when I lived in New York, there were all sorts of weird parties. There was the Working Families Party. It was kind of a commie party, but usually the Democrat would just pick up that line. So the Democrat would be on the Democratic line. The Democrat would also be listed on the Working Families Party line. There was another line, the Independence Party. I-N-D-E-P-E. Dep. And E-N-D. Excuse me. Sorry for that. E-N-C-E. Not Independence TS, Independence CE. So it was confusing because a lot of people who said, I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat, I'm an independent. They would sign up for that party. But that party didn't mean you were not affiliated with a political party. It meant you were joining this other kind of grifty political party where really you just kind of pay the bosses of it off and then you get the line. That party doesn't exist in every other state. The natural law party doesn't exist in every other state, to my knowledge. But this is a potential strategy for Kennedy. Kennedy could go around just picking up random ballot lines, any ballot line that'll put him on the ballot. The Kennedy brand is a lot bigger than the Natural Law Party, a lot bigger than the Libertarian Party, for that matter, a lot bigger than the Working Families Party. So he could just pick up different ballot lines in every state, and then he's on the ballot. And as long as that name Kennedy is on the ballot, he is going to take votes. He's going to take votes maybe from both Biden and Trump, but I have been saying from the beginning, and I think I've been proven more and more correct every single day, hate to say I told you so, Kennedy is going to take more votes from Biden. So I am all for it. I hope he stays on the natural law party line in Michigan. I hope he picks up a line in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Arizona and all over the country. Now, Kennedy, it seems like I've kind of hit him a little bit because his abortion stance is not very much in keeping with the natural law. But I would love to compliment Bobby Kennedy right now because he says some things that are very kooky and off base. He says some things that are very right. Don't forget, Bobby Kennedy was great on COVID. He was much more precise on the COVID lockdowns and the whole COVID regime than were all the Democrats and many Republicans. And he's showing his perspicacity, that maybe that's the word of the day, on another issue that the Democrats and not even the Republicans are speaking about, but it's an issue near and dear to my heart, and I know to many of you who are listening as well. Bobby Kennedy Jr. is having the courage right now to call out the current ethnic cleansing of Armenians by Azerbaijan.
Beginning in 2020, Azerbaijan ruthlessly launched an ethnic cleansing campaign against this peaceful and peace-loving people. It systematically bombarded population centers with cluster bombs and missiles. And in September, Azerbaijan launched an unprovoked invasion and expelled all 120,000 ethnic Armenians. While the world was focused on Gaza and Israel with indignation and outrage from every direction, we heard almost nothing about this mass expulsion of the entire population of one of the oldest Armenian states on the planet. Empty condemnations of this ethnic cleansing campaign are not enough. Unlike the 1915 genocide, this one is reversible. The U.S. government needs to organize and mobilize the global community to take action to ensure the safe return of Armenians to Artsakh and to defend their right to self-determination. This is a situation where peaceful sanctions could actually work.
100% correct. Bobby Kennedy Jr. is 100% correct on this issue of the current ethnic cleansing going on against the Armenians. He's right that we've all been focused on, first it was the Ukraine war, and now we're all focused on Gaza. And these terms, genocide and ethnic cleansing, are being bandied about by all sides. The pro-Palestine people are accusing Israel of committing a genocide, or at the very least an ethnic cleansing of the Gazans. And the pro-Israel side is pointing out, you know, actually in Hamas's charter, the governing authority in Gaza, they explicitly call for either the genocide or at the very least the ethnic cleansing of the Jews in Israel. So yeah, there's a lot of ethnic cleansing accusations being thrown about. But if we're so focused on this issue, why are we not focused on the current ethnic cleansing going on against the Armenians? Armenia, which suffered a genocide a little over 100 years ago. What was it, 1.5 million Armenians were killed at the hands of Muslim Turks? 1915. We don't even talk about that. A lot of people won't even acknowledge that as a genocide. Armenia. Why do I care about Armenia? Because it's the oldest Christian country in the world. Armenia became a Christian country a dozen years before the Edict of Milan by Emperor Constantine that legalized Christianity throughout the Roman Empire. This is the oldest Christian country in the world. Christianity first arrived in Armenia 7 years after the crucifixion and the resurrection. It arrived by the mouths and the tongues of two apostles, okay? There is a longstanding Christian presence and Christian identity in Armenia. So why does America care? Well, as I said at the top, we are a global empire. We are the global empire, actually. We've always considered ourselves a Christian country. In recent decades, unfortunately, there has been a concerted effort to stop thinking of America as a Christian country. But, you know, it was one nation under God. John Adams famously said that the morality for America is the Christian morality. The people who formed America, going all the way back to the Pilgrims on the Mayflower, which is a great cigar company, by the way. This was a Christian identity from the beginning. And there were all sorts of little disagreements and conflicts between different sects, but it's broadly a Christian country. It comes out of the Christian West. Christianity is the religion that has animated that civilization for as long as we have been a distinct and coherent civilization. And so if we are that empire, then the question to me is not, do we fund anything or do we not fund anything? That's, I guess, where some people, we need to fund everything. We need to fund every single war. We need to wave the Ukraine flags on the floor of the House. This is the greatest battleground for democracy and freedom. Give me a break. But it's also not the other side. We need to just stop being an empire. Well, we are one. We need to stop funding everybody around the world. Yeah, well, good luck with that. How's that working out for you? It's not working out very well at all. To say we're just going to stop funding everything, we're going to stop being an empire, that is effectively to concede the political territory to our enemies. Because you might not like the way that the American empire looks, but it just, that is what it is. So if you say, well, I'm not going to play ball, I'm not going to engage in politics. Okay, well, if you're not going to engage in politics, then you're ceding the political ground to your enemies. America is an empire. What kind of empire are we? I bet a lot more people would be on board once again with the American empire if the American empire were doing good things and spreading good ideas and practices and institutions around the world. I think a lot of the reason that people have taken a more isolationist view in just the last 5 or 10 years to American empire is because we ask, what are we spreading? What is the idea? We're spreading the pride flag to Kandahar? That what? Excuse me? I don't want to give one more red cent to do that. I don't want to spread the pride flag in America, much less in Afghanistan or Iraq. What are we spreading? What are we standing for? What's the point of the American empire? What's the identity of the American empire? But if we were to return to a little bit more of the traditional view, you know, the red, white, and blue, truth, justice, and the American way, the ideas, philosophical all the way up to religious, because all politics is ultimately theological, that formed our civilization and made us great in the first place, I think a lot more people would be on board. We would have a lot more moral clarity, and we would have a lot more moral courage. But this issue is a big one. If we've got American statesmen waving the freaking Ukraine flag, Ukraine, one of the most notoriously corrupt countries that has been conquered and reconquered and fought over for 1,000 years, this country has been conquered by the Poles, okay? The Poles, who have faced a lot of oppression themselves. It is an ambiguous conflict. We're going to wave the Ukraine flag on the floor of the House, but we're not going to defend the oldest Christian country in the world, which is currently facing an ethnic cleansing at the hands of Muslim Turks. The same people who committed a genocide against the oldest Christian nation in the world 100 years ago. We're not going to stand up and have moral clarity on that. Are we going to have moral clarity on anything?
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Now, ladies and gents, the moment that you've been waiting for is finally here. The legendary Leftist Ears Tumblr has made its triumphant return. It is the talk of the town, the desire of the people. But there's a catch. The only way to get your hands on it is by becoming a new Daily Wire Plus annual member. Your annual membership does not just get you this coveted Tumblr. It opens the doors to a world of unparalleled access to ad-free, uncensored shows from your favorite Daily Wire hosts. Really, all that matters is your single favorite Daily Wire host. Yours truly. Plus, you'll also get on-demand hits, movies, TV series, groundbreaking documentaries. And yes, the membership includes our Leftist Ears Tumblr. So let the soccer moms clutch their Stanleys. Let the techies brag about their Bluetooth smart mugs, which I've only learned from this advertisement exist. You will make a statement and take a stand. As you proudly sip from your iconic Leftist Ears Tumblr, new Insider Annual members get a free Tumblr, but why stop at one? Really, put your money where your values are. With an all-access membership, we'll send you not one, but two Leftist Ears Tumblrs for free. Join now as we fight the left and build the future at dailywireplus.com. My favorite comment on Friday is from Frank S111, who says, "The left, stay out of our bedroom." Also the left, "You better listen to what we do in our bedroom and celebrate it." That's true. That's because, wow, that comment coincidentally ties up a lot of what we're talking about on the show. There's no neutrality. There's no compartmentalizing, totally dividing ourselves into lots of different split personalities. And there is no total privacy. There's no total isolation from the world. We are political. We live in a society. We're the social creature. You can't just ignore that. You can't do it at the personal level of, you know, just leave me alone. You do you. Don't yuck my yum in your town. You can't even do it at the global level and pretend that we're not America. We're America, okay? It's different. It's different to be America than it is to be Qatar, for instance, all right? You can't just, oh, it doesn't matter what else is going on in the world. No, it does. We live in a society. So, you know, we can have the courage of our convictions. We just got to, we have to be able to have, one, moral clarity and intellectual clarity on what is good for us and how to live and how best to institute and enforce these laws. And then two, we have to have the courage, the prerequisite of all the other virtues, to actually stand by it. Now, speaking of this 2020 election and how Trump might have a chance of winning, some good news coming out of the RNC. The Republican National Committee has announced that they will mobilize over 100,000 election integrity volunteers and lawyers into the battleground states. This is helpful news because the big problem I've had with the Trump campaign, going back to the primary this year, you know I love Trump. You know I supported Trump in 2016, even when it was somewhat unpopular among movement conservatives. I voted for the guy. I was delighted by his presidency. I gleefully voted for him again in 2020. And I just think he's great. I think he's been the best president of my lifetime. He's had faults. He's done things that I disagree with. And that's, of course, that's true of any president. That's true of any other person. You know, you're not going to be totally 100% on everything. But I think he's been very, very good. For goodness sakes, the guy got Roe v. Wade overruled. But here's the big but. When it came to 2020, I said, look, I'm not making any public endorsement in the primary, and I love Trump, and I would be delighted if he had a second term. But I fear that his campaign is not answering the question. If he got cheated in 2020, how's he not going to get cheated again in 2024? You don't need to convince me that 2020 was rigged, okay? I've said on the show many times, I've named a number of examples of how it was rigged. And I think that the argument that, well, you know, the case was thrown out of court so many times, the courts wouldn't even hear the cases most of the time because the courts didn't want any involvement in it. And there was obvious chicanery. But that doesn't take away from the remaining question. Well, if they did it in 2020, why won't they do it again in 2024? Until recently, the RNC did not have an answer for this. Now they do. And the RNC and the Trump campaign are one entity now. Okay, even Trump's daughter-in-law is helping to run the RNC right now. And as some of the squishy types called this nepotism and attacked Trump and said he was authoritarian or whatever. Ronald Reagan did the same thing. Ronald Reagan put his daughter at the top of the RNC in the 1980s as well. In any case, 100,000 election integrity workers could be good. There will be an election integrity hotline. This will be set up in each battleground state where lawyers will monitor questions and concerns from those monitoring the voting. Trump has just come out and said, having the right people to count the ballots is just as important as turning out voters on election day. This is true. It's not just a Republican who has said this. Very famously, FDR said this to LBJ when LBJ was running for his first big race. FDR was a mentor of LBJ, and FDR lost at the last moment. And there might have been some chicanery in that race too. And FDR laughed about it and said, you know, you forgot to sit on the ballot box. And FDR famously in the 1948 Texas Senate race stuffed the ballot box and stole the race. And then he became senator, then became vice president, then became president. Then he left office, then he died. And only many decades later did we find out, and Robert Caro did a great job of explaining how this happened in his magisterial biography of LBJ, that LBJ stole that race in 1948, okay? So Trump is absolutely right here. Having the right people to count the ballots is just as important as turning out voters on election day. This is probably the most important thing that the Trump campaign can do, not just to win on election day. It's very important for that. The Trump campaign also had to do this and has to double down on this in order to motivate people to vote. Republican voters are demoralized. We feel that the libs can just change all the rules in the weeks and months before the election, and Mark Zuckerberg can dump $400 million into left-wing organizations. They're going to move our ballot drop boxes all around. They're going to have widespread mail-in voting. You're going to have weeks, months maybe, to cast your ballot. They're going to move these ballot boxes illegally far away from county clerk offices, and they're just going to get away with it. And then it's going to take days, weeks, possibly, to count the ballots, and we just feel like our vote doesn't count. You need to make sure that Republican voters believe their votes will count. And the way to do that is to flood the zone with election integrity workers who can raise all sorts of red flags, who can immediately start filing court cases in a timely way that are very compelling, get a lot of media attention on it. Sunlight is a great disinfectant. Got to do it. This is a great use of money, and I think the RNC is doing a great job. And I have not said I think the RNC is doing a great job about pretty much any topic in years. So this is good.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
News. Now, let's get to a real issue, okay? Not election integrity, but a real issue that gets to the core of our national crises. And that, of course, is the racism of eco-anxiety.
Eco-anxiety is an environmental justice issue that disproportionately impacts Black youth. Let's talk about it. According to the American Psychological Association, eco-anxiety is defined as a chronic fear of environmental doom. And that may include feelings of worry, guilt, shame, despair, and even hope. However, just as the climate crisis doesn't impact people and communities the same, neither does eco-anxiety. When we fully understand the relationship between social determinants of mental health and climate change, we begin to understand that the nature of a person's eco-anxiety is also informed by systemic factors that exacerbate the ways that it's felt and addressed. Communities of color, and particularly Black ones, are more vulnerable than white ones to sea level rise, wildfire, and heat waves linked to climate change. Black youth are more likely to reside in hotter regions that trap and radiate heat, have the highest asthma rates in the country, and are increasingly more likely to experience mental health illness, all while having fewer avenues to really access often life-saving resources.
I agree with one thing here, which is that Black people probably are more susceptible to eco-anxiety. And I think eco-anxiety is a real thing. I do think people are neurotic for all sorts of reasons and about all sorts of things, one of which can be that the sun monster is going to kill us all. So sure, eco-anxiety is real. Boogeyman anxiety is real. All sorts of anxieties are real. Even if the thing that the people are fearing is not real or not a threat, the anxiety itself is real. And Black people probably are more susceptible to it because they have been more propagandized. There has been a more targeted effort to gin up all of these sorts of irrational fears in Black people for the last 60, 70 years. So sure, maybe it is the case. It's at least possible that that's the case. I'm not convinced that most Black people are sitting around quaking in their boots about the sun monster. Liberal whites are doing that, but I'm skeptical that Black people are. But in principle, okay, maybe they could be convinced that the sun monster is racist too. Okay, they've been told that everything's racist, so maybe that's possible. What is this really about? All of the eco-anxiety and the racist eco-anxiety even. People recognize that there is something wrong in the world. That's what it's about. People recognize that there is something wrong in the world, and the world is kind of broken, and there's injustice. And the mistake that this woman is making, and that the hypothetical Black people who fear the racist sun monster are making, and that all of the environmental alarmists and hysterics are making, is they think that the problem is external rather than internal. It's internal. That's where the brokenness comes from. The big threat to the world is not the sun. The sun's actually pretty good. You know, it allows our vegetation to grow. It feeds us. It warms us. The sun's okay in my book. The threat to the world is people. And it's not even just physically the people. It's the interior of people. It's the heart and the soul and the spiritual brokenness. The call is coming from inside the house. That's the problem. But these people don't want to face the problems. They don't want to look at the man in the mirror and ask him to change his ways. So they have to blame it on everyone else. They have to blame it on the other races. They have to blame it on the boogeyman race, which is the white people. They have to blame it on not even other races, not even other species, but other celestial entities. We've got to blame it on the sun. We've got to blame it on the greenhouse gases. We've got to blame the brokenness of this world on something that is physical and external, because we can't acknowledge that the problem is spiritual and internal. That's a lot scarier. The rest of the show continues now. You do not want to miss it. Become a member. Use code NOLSKIN at WLES at checkout for 2 months free on all annual plans.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.